This podcast was recorded Wednesday, January 8th at 2:30 p.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like Greenland will show up on Zillow. That way, the real estate website can give President-elect Trump an estimated market value for our initial offer, a zestimate for Greenland. That would be interesting. Let's talk politics. This is Snollig Oster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollig Osters, those shrewd politicians who, like the rest of us, make New Year's resolutions and struggle to keep them. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, the latest speculation over who will be Ohio's next U.S. Senator. But first, we begin 2025 with a major party candidate for governor in 2026. Former Ohio Health Director Amy Acton ended speculation and announced this week she will indeed run for governor next year as a Democrat. Acton burst upon the Ohio scene and the national stage 5 years ago in the earliest days of the COVID pandemic. She was there alongside Governor Mike DeWine, urging Ohioans to stay away from each other, wear masks, and ordering schools, businesses, and government offices to close. She and DeWine canceled an election, at least in-person voting for the 2020 Ohio primary. For many, she was a calming, empathetic voice in turbulent times. For others, she was the face of government overreach and unnecessary panic. She did not last long in that role. After armed protesters showed up at her home's front lawn, and after butting heads with members of the DeWine administration who wanted to reopen the state, she left the post 3 months into the pandemic. She continued on as Governor DeWine's health advisory for a few more months. And after that, she largely disappeared. She worked for a couple nonprofits, and she toyed with the idea of running for U.S. Senate in 2022, but decided against it. This past year, though, she ramped up her political activity, meeting with the Ohio delegation at the Democratic National Convention. She told reporters she was considering a run for governor, and now she is, saying the state is going in the wrong direction and it is time for a change. She wants the top executive job in the state of Ohio. When you think about it, she has to run now. It's been 5 years since the pandemic. If she waits 2 more years, that's 2 years further removed from the goodwill she developed during that pandemic. Think about it. She was on the Ohio stage and the national stage for just 3 months. But yet, she's a pretty much a household name in this state. She is very popular. Some internal polls showed her more popular than Governor DeWine, and some even showed her more popular than Sherrod Brown. But, of course, she's a rookie. She's very nice, and those two qualities can doom a candidacy. She's going to have to learn fast how to be a political candidate and probably toughen up the skin a little bit and learn to throw grenades as well as catch some, as she did when she was a health director. So it will be interesting to watch to see how Amy Acton does on the campaign trail. Then the next question is, who runs against her? Former Democratic Party Chair Chris Redfern said last year he was considering a run for governor, so he may jump in. House Minority Leader Allison Russo of suburban Columbus is thought to be a likely candidate. And then there is former U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown. He said, "We have not heard the last from him." That's what he said as he left the U.S. Senate last month. And there was speculation that he would run for governor. But he was a big supporter of Acton and urged her to run for the Senate in 2022. He and his wife were really urging her to run for Rob Portman's vacated seat, which eventually was run by J.D. Vance. But she didn't. But one has to think Acton at least consulted with Brown before announcing her candidacy. Maybe that means that Brown aims to run for the Senate seat, now being vacated by J.D. Vance. That goes to the voters next year as well. I really don't see an Acton versus Sherrod Brown Democratic primary, but you never know, and we'll see how this all plays out. Speaking of that U.S. Senate seat, when J.D. Vance takes the oath of office to become the 51st Vice President of the United States, he will vacate his spot in the Senate, and it's up to Governor DeWine to fill that seat. Speculation as to who will succeed J.D. Vance has narrowed to two names, Lieutenant Governor John Husted and former GOP Chair Jane Timken. Husted wants to be governor. He has raised millions of dollars to launch a campaign for governor. But it is far from a sure thing that he could win a GOP primary if Donald Trump favorite Vivek Ramaswamy runs, which he is speculated to do. Whoever DeWine picks for U.S. Senate must be a Trump favorite. Perhaps that's why DeWine and Husted went to Mar-a-Lago last month to meet with the president-elect. To flesh this out, we turn to WOSU's Columbus on the Record panel. Associated Press government and politics reporter Julie Carr Smythe, retired OSU political scientist Herb Asher, and Republican former prosecutor Mike Miller. Julie Carr Smythe, what is the speculation, the talk as to when DeWine might make this choice and who it might be?
Well, the governor has told us it would be after the first of the year, which obviously it is now. But everything I'm hearing is that J.D. Vance will remain in his position as long as he can, so the 19th or whatever it would be. And, you know, the situation really with Trump getting involved in this is that he, Vivek, is a, right now an insider in the Trump world and perhaps who Trump wants. And so this, again, is this Republican divide over maybe DeWine wants a more moderate candidate. Maybe he's going to pick someone that Trump wants. And I think if he can move Husted out somehow of the governor's race and move Vivek in, then that is better for the Trump world.
Herb, John Husted wants to be governor. There's really no mystery there. But the reality is he might not win. If it's a three-way race with Vivek Ramaswamy, Dave Yost, and John Husted, that's even tougher because Husted and Yost would split the establishment vote and Vivek would slide in that way.
Yeah. No, I think there's a lot of pressure being put on Husted right now that I'm sure the meeting at Mar-a-Lago must have said, that Trump must have said, Vivek is my candidate and I will support him, I will endorse him.
For governor.
For governor. And so the wise move would be to Husted, don't run for governor. And if he doesn't run for governor, then what's the consolation prize? And it's a very good consolation prize. It's a U.S. Senate seat. But I agree with you, Mike. I've heard all along that John Husted wants to be governor and has been preparing to be governor. So I don't know what he'll do, but you're right. I think that the running against Vivek and running and Yost at the same time will be a very difficult uphill battle for him.
Mike, have you ever seen anything like this where the president basically can anoint the next governor of Ohio?
Well, at least not officially. Yeah. No, I've not seen it. And I think if the information you guys are talking about is accurate, that Husted has got to take the appointment. I mean, running for governor, you know, he's waited 8 years with Governor DeWine. I think he may wait another eight if the Republican wins. And coming from the U.S. Senate, that's not bad. Mm-hmm. Then you talk about the election of, 2032. I know that seems like a long way away, but it really isn't. To be an incumbent U.S. senator is a pretty healthy thing to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to the meeting at Mar-a-Lago, Herb, do you think that DeWine and Husted got assurances that Trump would endorse Husted if he were to run for Senate?
I think that would have to be part of the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we do have to recall how John Husted got here. You know, he came in, he was very effective and, popular, I guess you could say, state lawmaker. He became a House Speaker, a state senator, then he became the Secretary of State. He was really in good position to potentially beat DeWine 8 years ago or, in that first election. And so DeWine merged with him, and they put this together and deferred John Husted's dream of being governor for this 8 years with the idea that he would definitely be the next governor. And it's a completely different job. One is executive, one is legislative, one's in Columbus, one's in D.C. Yep. And so, it has to be a really tough decision for him.
If you were the Democratic Party trying to rebound in 2 years, who would you rather run against for governor, Vivek Ramaswamy or John Husted? I would say they'd rather run against Vivek. And they would not want to run against John Husted. So in some ways, Donald Trump could be doing the Democratic Party a favor.
2 years in Donald Trump's world, Mike, is a long time. I mean, what assurances do we have that Vivek Ramaswamy is going to be on Donald Trump's good side 2 years from now, a year from now?
Well, I think it's obvious. The answer is we don't.
Yeah.
There's absolutely nothing. You know, one more thing about Houston, if he does that, because of the vice president-elect resigning, he's going to have to run again in 2 years, and then again 2 years later. So he's got to win two elections before he gets, hopefully, from his perspective, this opportunity to become governor. And again, that's not easy. We're a Republican state now, but that doesn't mean we will be 2 years or 4 years from now. I mean, you just, politics is a gamble.
So if you were to guess, would he take the safe route, John Houston, or would he say, you know what, this is where I'm going to go. I'm going to put all my cards to the middle of the table and go for governor.
Well, I mean, there is this option Mike brings up, which is that he could take the appointment now and then not run in 2 years and go back to running for governor. I mean, anything's possible in politics. I'm with Mike on that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if Vivek falls out of favor, Houston comes back and runs for governor.
And what does Yost do in all of this?
I think Yost runs regardless. I think he's gone too far. He's planned this, and regardless of who the candidate is, regardless of who President-elect Trump supports, I think David Yost will run for governor.
You know, when you think about this, did Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, have to go to Joe Biden to ask his permission to appoint Alex Padilla to succeed Kamala Harris, Herb?
I don't know.
Rod Blagojevich, I guarantee you, did not go to Barack Obama to get his permission to announce his successor. I mean, this really is incredible what the Republican Party has become now.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, really everyone walks on eggshells and listens hard for any hints or suggestions from Donald Trump. And, you know, it puts a lot of our establishment, Ohio politicians, career folks who Ohio voters are well familiar with, like a John Husted or Frank LaRose, you know, it puts them in a bind because these are folks who basically as young men and women came into politics and then sort of did their time in the old-fashioned sense of taking lower offices and moving up, and then their careers just get thrown into a tizzy by this.
Yeah, our senators are Bernie Marino and J.D. Vance, who 8 years ago, 9 years ago, nobody knew who they were.
Right.
Outside of their families and maybe neighborhoods.
Tell me what the economy is going to look like in 2 years. And if it looks bad, I think that would be something that would make a Trump endorsement less influential. As skillful as Donald Trump is in avoiding the responsibility for anything, if the economy tanks, you know, we could have a classic midterm election in which the party out of power makes some gains.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of Vivek Ramaswamy, he's been making news over the holidays, not all of it positive, depending on your perspective. Ramaswamy is co-leading the government spending-cutting effort with Elon Musk, of course. Ramaswamy first angered some Trump supporters by saying America needs legal immigrants to fill tech and engineering jobs. In defending this position, Ramaswamy wrote on X, quote, "The truth is, our American culture has venerated mediocrity over excellence for way too long." He continued writing that a culture that celebrates the prom queen over the math Olympiad champ or the jock over the valedictorian will not produce the best engineers. He went on from there quite a bit longer and saying kids should stop watching Saturday morning cartoons and they should stop hanging out at the mall. Herb, I don't think kids are watching TV on Saturday morning or at the mall. They're on their phones. But anyway, is Vivek Ramaswamy right? Have we downplayed the importance of science, technology, engineering, and math for prom queens and football quarterbacks?
He's tone deaf in how he said that. There's certainly a need to strike the balance. If you actually look at higher education, STEM is the big talk, and it's been the talk for a long time. If you look at Congress, it's been STEM. So I think he's out of touch there. But the way he basically described the American population, he didn't quite call us deplorables, but it was really sort of kind of insulting. And I'm not sure that was a smart thing to say it that way. I think he has to say something to the effect, we value all these things, and we better make sure, you know, we should also value people who choose to go into the crafts, to become electricians and plumbers. It was a very elitist kind of statement, which you might expect from him.
Well, he used the word venerate, which most people don't use anyway. But Donald Trump can say that, Mike, but Vivek Ramaswamy can't say that and not get political blowback, would you say?
Well, I think if Trump said it, he'd get some blowback, too. But I frankly disagree with Herb. I didn't take it as elitist. I took it as factual. I believe it basically the essence of it is true. I look at our public school system, and I believe that the numbers were, we talk about closing down the schools, that in, 20 years ago or so, there were like 116,000 students. Now we're down to 46,000. And Columbus, as we all know, is growing. And why? Nobody wants to send their kids to public schools if they can possibly avoid it. Every test I see down through the years, and I'm just reading this, reading the newspaper year after year, rates fall about who could read at a fourth or fifth grade level, math falls at who, and we just figure out ways where we're going to pass everybody anyway. And I think it gets into college for some degree. Something I read a year or a month ago or so said, don't hold me to these exact numbers, but in all of the universities in the country, like 80% or 70% of the grades they issue are A's. It's just everything has changed, and I think it has hurt the country as a whole. So I basically agree with what he said, that you sit on, look at the television that we get, a lot of the television. I mean, to me, it's geared for people, you know, sixth or seventh grade educations, and that's what we have.
How does this play in Ohio? Should Ramaswamy run for governor, being opposed to, being in support of immigrant tech jobs, you know, for tech companies like Intel, or even for like Nationwide Insurance, which uses folks in their IT department?
Right, because the context of this was he was making the case for H-1B visas for immigrants, which is interesting given that I think a lot of Ohio voters chose Trump because of his stance on, like a very tough stance on border security and allowing immigrants into the country. That's a pretty difficult needle to thread for the average American voter. It's like, well, we are for closing the border and keeping immigrants out, but we are also for bringing these immigrants in because they're smarter than you, which is basically how it came off.
Yeah, the illegal versus legal, merit-based versus just people wanting to live here without.
You know, going back decades in higher education, especially in the sciences and engineering, higher education has always depended upon international graduate students. Graduate students from the East, graduate students from Europe. So this is not so much a new thing. And actually what Vivek is really saying here is we do have a need for additional people. And, you know, even when we graduate more engineers in United States or in Ohio, those undergraduate engineers with a BS degree, they don't go on to graduate school. Why? Because they can get a fantastic job right away. And why go on for a master's or PhD? And yet, if you really want to do the research that needs to be done, you have to have advanced training. So I don't quite agree with you, Mike, in terms of how bad this situation has always been there. And we've always had to rely upon international visitors, if you will, whether they're students or immigrants or whatever, to help. So I think Vivek is right about that. But again, the whole thing is said so clumsily. I mean, it's such a contradiction to what the president-elect has been saying. And it's also the way he's talked about the rest of us I still think is insulting.
That was retired OSU political scientist Herb Asher, along with former Franklin County prosecutor Mike Miller and Associated Press politics and government reporter Julie Carr-Smythe. Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past 7 days. And this week, we have to give it to the first person in a century to hold two of the three most powerful positions in Ohio state government. Matt Huffman did that this week when he became the Speaker of the Ohio House. He immediately traded one gavel for another. Huffman, just a few days ago, was the president of the Ohio Senate. Say what you will about his politics, his practices, it was a masterful political move to support candidates who would support him as Speaker and outmaneuver now former Ohio House Speaker Jason Stevens. Now with one of his allies as the new Senate president, his path is clear for many of Huffman's priorities. Former Senate president and new House Speaker Matt Huffman is our Snollygoster of the Week. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and just tell your friends about us. Make it a resolution. Tell your friends about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius,
our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones. I'm Mike Thompson for Snelligoster from WOSU Public Media.